Seriously, who's blowing up my phone? Oh, yeah. Powerball.
This is your big reminder from the California Lottery. Tomorrow's Powerball jackpot is over $300 million. Play now. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase, play, or claim.
I still don't know how to open up StreamYard.
No! No! Damn it! Why? Why? Ugh. God damn it! No, I'm just playing. What's up, y'all? This is Canterbury here. Touchdowns and Tangents. I really had to sit through, like, painful junior varsity college football earlier today, and I lost, like, my favorite cap to my water canteen in Calabasas. Terrible.
What's up, good people? Live from the Good News radio station in Hawthorne, California, it's your favorite NFL podcast, the spot for NFL takes, topical tangents. I am PD Camarillo, and he is
Kenneth Frank Jamesberry.
Shout out to the FBC Radio family, X Squad affiliates, your favorite podcast app, all our friends and listeners, and everyone else who messes with us. With that, man, Kenny already mentioned the news of the day. We've been sitting through some painful JV football, but
god awful.
Reconciled it with some
Wong's walk.
Glorious hood Chinese.
With 15 minutes to spare, but we ended up a little bit late, but it's okay. One of my faults this time. But salute to everybody out there. And on a serious note, though, rest in peace to fellow Good News family member Gotti West. Godric, he had some health complications. He passed away this week. Man, he was loved by a lot of people. Father, too. You know, had I Am West. Was a thriving entrepreneur. Black Barbershop Podcast. Salute to y'all. Prayers. You know, our hearts, feelings, everything goes to y'all right now. We hope y'all find some healing through all of this. And, yeah. It's rough, like, so many people had stories about him. Like, I had seen him a couple times at TSUN. Like, and then we end up on the same network together. It's kind of crazy. But, you know, the man lived a hell of a life. So, condolences to him, his family. And you can donate to
the GoFundMe.
Yeah, you can donate to the GoFundMe.
Buy out their merch.
You pretty much checked. You can check any of the Good News Radio, Good News Sports, Good News Latinx stories. You'll find his GoFundMe link there, and also they put together a really, like, nice, touching slideshow for him. So, condolences to Gotti West.
Sad story.
Okay. So, this is, like, a really interesting week. Aside from the fact that my nephew just decides when we're all going to get sleep. Like, it's not even up to me when I get to sleep. It's up to my nephew, Isaiah. So, the fact that you managed to get me to come with you to Calabasas to watch, like, aneurysm-inducing JV football. A lot of points, a lot of positive plays were left on the field. But that's kind of the funny thing about life and football, man. Like, when you fail big. And even when you succeed, sometimes you might fail.
Even more than that, it's just like you only have in your whole high school career of 40 games.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
You only have so many plays.
And maybe another 5 each year if you're a champion. So you're looking at max, what, 60 games in your high school career? So like, you're getting 50 to 100 plays. So that's really, you really only have a few hundred to 1,000 plays, like, in your high school career to see and maximize your potential. And I think that's really the hardest thing, especially now with the way teenagers are built. Everything is so fast to where it's like, yeah, you can see what's in front of you and you want to do something and take advantage of it, but they don't necessarily have that big picture of like, hey, all this stuff adds up. Like, good doesn't just turn to great overnight.
And sometimes, even if you do everything right, it still don't work out.
And it's still not enough.
And you got to live with that, because that's life. That's the first. Football is one of the coolest, and most honest, and some of the best lessons you can get.
And that's why it's so important to try your maximum in football or anything else, because it still might not be enough, but at least you can say, well, I know it was enough. Not, hey, I wish I could have did this. I wish I could have did that. You know, I should have did this. I should have did that. But well, if you have that much energy to think that, then you didn't leave it all out there.
Or, I mean, sometimes you can do it literally. You can exhaust yourself to the ends of things. And it doesn't work out. Namdi Asomugha never played on a winning team in high school. He still became the best corner in the league at one point. Sometimes the success you want isn't yours when you want it. You get it later in life. You don't get it right when everybody else gets it. A lot of people get it quick and then they fail the rest of their life because they don't know what to do once it's gone. Once they get hit with some adversity, they don't know how to recover. They don't know, okay, maybe not today, but tomorrow's still possible. Sometimes you got to just put in the work, whether it works out or not. That's just the truth of it. Realistically, I can't go to work and half-ass it every day just because I don't know what my next move is. Like, nah, everything you do, you got to at least try. Even if you're scared, even if you're reluctant, you don't know, you got to at least try.
But I think the other thing that kind of gets lost is it's not just about trying like the obvious way. Like, yeah, in terms of a podcast, you can try by recording and broadcasting and putting it out. Sure, that's all trying. But there's also plenty of trying that goes into the preparation of it. That goes into the post-production of it. Like, it's not just about trying when the lights are on or when it's game time or when people are watching. It's a matter of trying all the time because that's what you do and that's what you're working at and that's the craft that you're trying to master. Like, anybody can do anything. Like, we knew plenty of people growing up who were athletic or who liked to work out. And they just weren't football players because to be a football player, like,
gotta have a couple screws loose. There has to be something in you that
gotta have an edge. Finish this through. You gotta have an edge.
Maybe you got something to prove.
You know, I think one of my coaches told me a long time ago, like, you can't play this game like a robot. You can't be a robot and play this game. You can't just go out there with no energy, like it's fucking fourth period and you're just trying to get through the end of it. You're not going to have fun. You're not going to be good. And you're not going to get anybody around you better.
And you're not going to get any respect.
You're really just wasting your time.
And everybody else's.
Yeah, so enough of our JV football soapbox.
It's more of a microcosm in life. Because I know cats who are tryhards. I was a tryhard.
I mean, I don't think there's nothing wrong with playing JV, bro. Like, you have to play in order to get better. And if that's where you're at, that's where you're at.
But no matter where you're at, you give your maximum effort. That's really all I'm saying. I don't care if you're a mailman. I don't care if you're
scrubbing toilets. That's what my grandpa used to always say.
I don't give a shit what you're doing. Just give your best effort at it. Because when people see that, that reveals your character. Not, okay, this is a shitty situation, so I'm going to just give shit effort
and I
to
think,
match the shittiness.
And I think that's why, like, a lot of the people that we've had on this podcast, whether they be entrepreneurs or coaches or anything like that, you know, that's the common denominator, the common vibe is, like, football really is a fraternity. Like, it's a way of walking, it's a way of carrying yourself. Like, you can just, you just see somebody and you know, like, just their approach and their attitude is different. And that's why, like, these people that we've had on the podcast who maybe aren't playing anymore, they still have that same approach.
Yep. But,
Well, we're going to talk some fantasy football, hopefully. I guess it's having a little trouble with the dialing.
Something that kind of is actually going to affect fantasy football is some news that happened this week. So, like, 9 Tennessee Titans caught COVID, including head coach Mike Vrabel and QB Ryan Tannehill. They had a similar outbreak last year that was really bad. And now they have another one.
I hope you sent me the right number.
I definitely sent you the right number. Did you actually open? Oh, Skype's open.
Well, we'll see. Go ahead, continue.
But, yeah. The Titans, that should kind of be a worry. Because, yeah, 9 guys. Originally, they had announced 7. Tannehill's vaccinated. He's going to miss 5 games.
Okay, so what are you talking about? Because you're just kind of rambling off, spitting out notes.
No.
I didn't even hear what the topic was.
No, I said 9 Titans got COVID. But, like, Mike Vrabel tested positive on Sunday. Tannehill got COVID, but he's already vaccinated. It's just kind of crazy to think that, like, it's kind of hitting teams that fast. Like, they were in Florida with joint practices with the Buccaneers. And the former Titans kicker, Ryan Succop, who's another Buccaneers kicker, he tested positive for COVID-19. So, none of the Titans who went to dinner, apparently, with 3 other Titans players tested positive. So, it's just kind of interesting to see how that all works out. Do you think this is going to be, do you think it's a one-off? Or do you think it's going to be, another thing in the long line of things that are.
Well, I think at the meeting today, they said, what, like 93% of the players are vaccinated and 99% of the staff are vaccinated. So I think the situation with the Titans is kind of unique. But from what I understand, that whole area was having a big surge in numbers. But who knows, man? I guess Israel is one of the most vaccinated places and they're having a lot of breakthrough cases. But the NFL did come out and say 95% of the deaths from COVID have been unvaccinated. So they're saying we don't want to leave any, like, sense of doubt. The vaccine works. And we're relying on it.
And Pfizer's now 100% approved by the FDA. So there you go. Also, remember when I told you that Urban Meyer wasn't going to work out? There's already been a gang of reports about people not. All
right. Hello, caller. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello. How are you guys doing there? This is Mike Hill, EPG, calling from the freeway, actually. Just wanted to call in because I heard you guys bring up the Bucks, the Titans, you know, stuff that's going on with COVID over there. But it's one team name that I haven't heard yet, and I'm waiting to hear you guys bring them up and talk about.
Do they have a number two receiver? Who's their number two receiver?
That's what I'm asking you guys.
Didn't they cut another corner?
I'm asking you guys. Is there a number two receiver that has any fantasy football value with the Kansas City Chiefs?
I mean, Travis Kelce, because we all know the number one receiver is Tyreek Hill.
Well, did you see that thing where Marcel Hateman, he put that quote of the Chiefs saying they needed a number two receiver as his default pick?
You mean McCole Hardman?
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
Sorry.
You butchered his name, dog.
My bad.
He said, man, Marcel Hateman. I was like, who the Oklahoma State receiver? He plays for the Raiders?
We all know I can't talk.
But
I just don't.
No, so you guys don't feel there's any value drafting a McCole Hardman or like a DeMarcus, you know,
Robinson?
Should people avoid number two receivers? Because, you know, Kelce should be the top tight end, and Tyreek is the top five receiver. But you guys feel there's no other receiver that should be drafted from the Chiefs?
Nah, I think, why not? The Chiefs, you know they're going to put up big offensive numbers. It's just a matter of the value you get. When you can get them, you might be swapping them every week, just depending on matchups, but I think it's definitely worth it to at least have one.
I took a late-round flyer on McCole Hardman, but mostly I'm looking at the Chiefs running backs over anything. Edwards-Helaire. Like, that's somebody who I could see going, like, fifth, sixth round. Somebody who, like...
No, yeah, Clyde, I think, can be a good pick.
And especially with Sony Michel getting traded to the Rams. Oh, yeah. You're going to see a lot of backs come off the board very quickly. Even if, like, yeah. This could be a bust. So
my question for you two, Kenny and Pete, Give all the listeners, including myself, because I got my draft coming up, give me one sleeper that maybe, you know, I can steal that no one else is talking about that might help me, you know, win a bunch of fantasy games.
I mean, I got like two drafts coming up.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to spill my juice yet. But you know how they say. But you know how they say you either got to be the last person or the first person to take a quarterback. You know that old strategy.
I'd be taking Lamar like in the first four picks.
I will say,
if I get the first pick,
if you miss out on one of those top quarterbacks, it might work out for you if you hold out for Teddy B.
If you somehow manage to get Aaron Rodgers, you'll make it.
I'm just saying, if you could get enough skill players around him. Teddy Bridgewater might have a decent year with all those skill players around him.
Say
Sorry, dude. I'm trying to manage three different conversations right now.
It's kind of funny to watch.
That's a good one. But not, that's all I was calling for, man. You know, I got to bring up my Chiefs. And looking for a fantasy steal.
Sony Michel.
I got some good money on the line. That was the name I was thinking Sony Michel was around.
Or
so Teddy Bridgewater might be a solid one.
Or, and I can't believe I'm saying this, because I would never pick the Lions in any other circumstance. DeAndre Swift in that offense, if they're going to run, they're actually going to run some power smash mouth football. You got Penei Sewell, the first round pick. If you're going to pick a team, Swift might surprise some people. Might be a good 8 to 10 points a game.
Okay, perfect. So, thanks a lot. And I hope y'all know I just ruined Kenny's draft because now all his buddies know he's looking at Sony Michel.
And maybe I said that on purpose.
Okay.
Just to mess with you.
All right, well,
not factually true.
Have a good show, guys.
All right, well, stay tuned because we're gonna have a real fantasy guest come in and give some real good advice. So,
can't wait, bro.
All right, peace.
All right.
Well, that was the station manager, PG. Shout out to him for listening. I just sent our guest a Zoom link, so hopefully he can get in here. We'll see how that goes. To be continued.
Well, oh yeah, so on to that next story. So it's bad enough that Travis Etienne, first round pick running back out of Clemson, former Clemson teammate and current teammate of number one overall quarterback Trevor Lawrence, who got no help in that preseason game. Yeah, Travis said that he had a Lisfranc injury, broke his foot. He's out for the year. Really unfortunate. He has a serious Lisfranc injury. And for a running back with his kind of speed, a Lisfranc injury could, like, end your career. And once you break your foot, as someone who knows personally, never really comes back the same. Which kind of really sucks. But then again, it doesn't. But in his case, it definitely sucks. Because running backs going in the first round, that's not going to be the trend this year. Like, I don't see it happening. It's kind of more like these guys were so productive, they have to go first round. Najee Harris and Etienne, I mean. And the fact that people are complaining on the team already that Urban Meyer, they're not liking some of his tactics as a coach. I'm going to read a line from the story. It says, one of his assistants on the field during practice with a boom mic telling everybody to hydrate, hustle, and get to the next series, Pete Prisco said. Obviously, he's a work in progress. He's been a good football coach everywhere he's been. It's a lot different when you recruit guys to your school and you've got a bunch of players, the five stars, than it is when you're trying to rebuild something. So, yeah. Sometimes, you know, when you think you're winning, you're actually losing. And other times, maybe you can lead the horse to water, but you really can't make it drink, can you? So, yeah, not looking too great for Urban Meyer, especially after he pretty much just left Trevor Lawrence out there to just get beat up. And then it took forever to make him the starting quarterback over Gardner Minshew, who he knew he wasn't going to use. Like, there's just so much done wrong in this situation. So we'll see.
Gets me tight. All right, so we got someone on the line right here. See if we can get him in here.
Through the magic of radio and television. There he is.
Hello, caller. Where is your name and where are you calling from? What is your name? I'm sorry.
That's all good. My name is right here, and that name is Kyle Senra, calling from Canada. The city is Sudbury, where I live, and yeah, happy to be on, happy to talk.
What's up, Kyle? How's it going?
Doing great. I know referencing the fact that the full press coverage connection, it's, you know, close collaboration, so I'm glad we're able to talk voice to voice.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, Kyle here, he covers the Packers and fantasy football for one of our network affiliates, Full Press Coverage. So happy to have him on here. Real quick, just to start things off, what has been the worst advice you've heard about fantasy so far in this whole preview season, and what has been maybe the most underrated advice you've heard that maybe people aren't taking as seriously as they should?
And I mean, yeah, it's tough to pinpoint worse. This one's fresh because I just heard this, I think, 2 days ago on a podcast, but someone had Dallas Goedert as a top four tight end, and they were basically trying to argue against Mark Andrews being there as to why Goedert should be a top four. And, you know, a lot of the reasons they were discounting Andrews, oh, low volume pass offense, you know, worry about the quarterback. It's like, are these are the same concerns that the Eagles and Hurts and Dallas Goedert, and seems even more crowded and less obvious. Like, I mean, Andrews, we've seen him get last year, I think it was 80 targets. And I mean, that was considered low. Like, you know, he had 7 touchdowns last year, and we were all disappointed because that was low for him. So, I'll take what Andrews has done, I think, over Dallas Goedert, I think going too early in drafts. Where he's going, it's making the assumption that he's going to be the top target on the team, or at least close to contest for that. And I'm not quite sure that that's going to be the case. I'm not even sure that he's the top tight end on the team. So Goddard's not someone I think I'm going to get very much of.
So would it just be the safe bet to stay away from any Philly player not named Miles Sanders?
I don't mind Devontae Smith's price, I think, because I think what I'm seeing in drafts, Goddard's usually going first, whereas I almost think the smart money is to say that Devontae Smith is going to lead that team in targets. So I'll be honest, I'm not crazy about really any of the rookie wide receivers this year, but he might be the one whose price might be the best. So, yeah. Yeah, Sanders and Devontae Smith, those might be the only two I'm really interested in, though, to be fair. And, I mean, it hurts depending on the format. Superflex, certainly, I think he deserves consideration.
Interesting. I mean, their defense ain't looking so great. But just from watching Devontae's first catch, he's definitely lightning quick out of his breaks. So they got something going there. Hopefully they don't make Joe Flacco the starting QB. But then again, if you have a defense going against the Eagles week one, you're probably excited.
But yeah, I think, Hurts can still do well fantasy-wise, but also turn the ball over, right? I mean, a lot of his success will be tied to his success on the ground, getting rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. So even if he throws an interception or there and Hurts the offense and, helps the opposing fantasy defense, I think he can still have a good fantasy season. So, yeah, that's why I'm a little more confident again. Hurts, especially in Superflex. Like, there's the big Scott Fishbowl. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of that, but it's a massive tournament. I think this year there's 1,900 people in it. And, divide into 12 team leagues. So you end up doing a 12 team draft as normal. But it's a Superflex league. So Superflex meaning you can start up to 2 quarterbacks. Anyway, in that league, in my league, I took Jalen Hurts in the 3rd round as my 2nd quarterback. So I, in a 1 year, 2021 only, I have confidence in him. Is he the long-term answer with the Eagles? In dynasty formats, I'm less likely to be as aggressive on him, but certainly for this year, I really like Jalen Hurts and what he can do fantasy-wise.
And since we're broadcasted on the Good News radio station in L.A., which quarterback do you think has better value between the L.A. quarterbacks? Is it Justin Herbert? Is it Matt Stafford? Both really have a lot of high expectations coming into the year. Do you like either of them as your fantasy quarterback?
I think my answer would have to be Herbert. I have been aggressively kind of taking him. I've got him ranked as my QB6 in both Dynasty and Redraft. So I have been willing to take him in a few spots lately, a few drafts. So actually just today I was doing an auction draft and he ended up being the quarterback I went with. So, yeah, I'm taking a lot of Herbert. I think he's kind of coming in at a value. I view him in really that top tier. Points per game, he wasn't that far off last year of what Mahomes was doing and Josh Allen. So I kind of view them all in the same tier. Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott. Usually Herbert, and I guess lately Prescott with the injury concerns, usually those two are going later than the rest of that group. So I kind of like targeting both of them, Herbert and Prescott. So yeah, my answer that I'll give Herbert. I do like Stafford, but I think they're just a higher ceiling with Herbert and, a bit younger, a bit more mobile. I'd say probably a higher floor as well. But Herbert can, if he needs to gain the rushing yards, so even if he doesn't throw some touchdowns, he can still maybe accumulate fantasy points. Whereas Stafford getting up there in the back issues, if he's not throwing touchdowns, it's not going to be a great week. So I think Herbert not only possesses the higher ceiling, but also the higher floor. So yeah, my answer is Herbert there.
And with that, for as set as they are at quarterback, both teams are kind of, going with the running back by committee. You had the Chargers. Their running back basically said he's going to take himself number one because he is ready to get back to the expectations he had last year. Then you had the Rams, who just made the trade with the Patriots for a running back, former first-round pick, Sony Michel. So what do you make of their running back positions? are you buying either one of them, I guess you could say?
It seems like Eckler is going in that first round. I do think he's deserving of being there. He, you know, there's the one concern. Really, the only concern with him is he going to get the goal line carries? Is he going to get rushing attempts from inside the five? That'll really help those touchdown numbers. He did 2 years ago. He, you know, Melvin Gordon's last year with the Chargers, they really split that role. But last season, I think I have those numbers somewhere, but I believe he only had two carries inside the five, and there was a big stretch where he was injured as well. But even when he was playing, they really gave that role to other players. We saw a lot of mostly Josh Kelly and Kalen Ballage were the two that really got that role last year with the Chargers. So that's really the only question, because we saw with Herbert, he'll still catch passes. It wasn't just a Phillip Rivers dump off because he doesn't have an arm anymore thing. Like, you know, Eckler was still a target there, and I guess maybe that was the concern. So he shows that top 10 floor of he'll catch a ton of passes. And if he can get that touchdown upside, then he suddenly gets that top three running back. He's got that chance at that. So, yeah, I think Eckler going in the first round is a fair price. So I'd be willing to take him there.
And you look at a guy like Aaron Rodgers with the season he had last year, and I'm not just saying that because I drafted him last year and I had him on my bench. I'm still angry that the Vikings defense gave up 7 touchdowns in a championship game against me, but I'm trying to move past it. But when I look at, like, a QB, essentially in fantasy, who could keep you in games and prolong your season or put you over the top, you look at a guy like Aaron Rodgers, are you willing to bet the farm on a guy like that in the middle rounds?
Yeah, I think so. I guess it would depend on the round. I think I mentioned Herbert and Dak. I see them falling a lot. If I did a redraft league. I guess this one has been a couple months since then, but I remember getting Dak in the 7th. So if I could target Herbert, Prescott, Rodgers, I'm even high on Tannehill. If I can target them either in the 7th, 8th round, I like that price. So I think that's kind of around where Rodgers is going. So yeah, if Rodgers in the 8th round, to me, that's pretty fair. So I'd pay that.
All right. And just for you, like, obviously you know what you're talking about with fantasy football, but why do you do it every single week, every single season? I'm sure you're in multiple leagues. How many leagues are you in?
Yeah, so the count keeps going up. I think it's at this point it's 10 Dynasty. I think it's going to be close to that for amount of redraft leagues I'm doing. I'm still joining some here and there. Then there's the best ball leagues. I've done 9 of those this year. Best ball, you don't have to set a lineup, so those are usually draft only and then forget it. So
I haven't done best ball yet. I might do that because sometimes I be having high-scoring benches.
Yeah, exactly. And it you can kind of – you draft slight different way. You might go with more high upside receivers than the high floor receivers, just because you're never looking for safety. It's your best lineup's decided for you every week.
But so why every day, every week? Why is this worth so much time to you?
Yeah, I think I've always loved statistics, manipulating them, trying to figure out formulas, and in this case, it's taking information and data that represents a player, A, making selections in the draft of choosing which players you want, and then B, every week having to choose of the players I've already chosen, which ones do I choose again this week to start, right? And then making those choices, the control, you can add, remove players, you can trade players. And I think just the fun of managing, the fun of interacting. I've always really enjoyed fantasy sports. And, to me, fantasy football has been the most fun fantasy game that I've found involving sports. So I'm glad I get to keep doing it. And now I'm glad I get to, come on here and talk about it. And thank you for giving me this opportunity. I always appreciate it.
No worries. Anytime. And, go ahead.
And, with receivers, obviously, like, look at the Packers. Superstar all-pro receiver Devontae Adams. But they haven't really had a trustworthy receiver maybe since Jordy was there, while Devontae was still kind of blossoming as a number two. So do you even risk it with Robert Tonyan or Equanimeous St. Brown or Montez Valdez-Scantling, do you even risk it with any of those guys as a potential backup receiver for the Packers?
Yeah, so Tonyan to me is kind of going in that range I spoke about earlier where Goddard's going like 7th to 9th round, I'm seeing a lot. And that, to me, for a tight end, that's too early. Like, if there's one player in the Packers that I don't think replicates what they did last year, it's probably Robert Tonyan. The 12 touchdowns was nice, but it also came I think at least four of those touchdowns came in the stretch where Davante Adams wasn't playing, and I believe all 12 of those came in the stretches where, or most of the 12, like at least 10 of the 12, where Alan Lazard wasn't playing. So for some of those games, Tonyan was the like clear number one red zone target. I don't think that's going to be the case this year. So he's one player that I wouldn't bank on repeating. I find that Valdez-Scantling and Lazard, those two are going so late that there's not as much risk associated. Whereas, you know, if with Tonyan, let's say it's a 9th round pick, that's still maybe a solid starter. There's some good running backs there. If you haven't gone quarterback yet, that might be maybe you get lucky and Rodgers falls to that range, or you go to the next level of Stafford, Brady. Like, I think I'd rather take upside shots there or any wide receivers falling rather than a tight end. So the risk reward, if Tonyan doesn't repeat what he did last year, then you've spent a pick that should be or could be a starter on your team. And, you know, you don't have that with Tonyan. He's not getting those touchdowns and he's not getting the volume you need. Whereas Valdez-Scantling and Lazard are two guys I think are going so late, you know, 13th, 14th round sometimes. And they've got good high weekly upside. Like if Valdez-Scantling catches a pass, it's usually a long pass for a touchdown. Like he's not going to get red zone touchdowns. Whereas you know, some of those to be fair, Tonyan also from distance more like he wasn't just a red zone tight end. Like they really used him to stretch the field and get some of those long touchdowns. But I feel like that's going to be more consistently there with Valdez-Scantling and Lazard. So when they score, it's not just the 6 points for the touchdowns, but sometimes 6 points for 60 yards as well. So I think the bigger booms. And again, it seems like both those receivers are cheaper than Tonyan. And I kind of expect both to be more involved more consistently than Tonyan. So yeah, Tunyon's in a range of tight ends where I'm trying to avoid that whole range of tight ends. I know guys like Goddard, Noah Fant, Logan Thomas, it's similar to Tonyan, right? Like they were both top five tight ends last year. I don't expect that to repeat. And while they're not being drafted as top five tight ends, I still think they're going too early. So yeah, I'd rather in Green Bay, I'd rather take the shot on those high upside, deep threat wide receivers, Valdez-Scantling, Lazard specifically.
All right, Kyle. Well, thank you for joining us. Before we let you go, why don't you let the people know where they can find you, anything you got coming up, and give us the one fantasy football player whose hill you're willing to die on that nobody else is on. Maybe right now.
Anybody but Tim Tebow.
Well, yeah, don't worry. It would definitely not be Tebow for me, that answer. I would have banked more on Kelvin Benjamin, honestly. at least he's caught passes in the NFL. True, like, that was the one thing. True. Didn't expect much from either. But yeah, so I'm Kyle Senra. You can follow me on Twitter at Senra Says. Also the Full Press Fantasy Pod at FPC_fantasy pod. Literally just had an episode drop today. My co-host Brad and I, we spoke about the topic I just talked about, the players to avoid. So the tight end speech I made here, I'll go to more detail. There's a couple of running backs I really think are kind of landmines to avoid. So maybe I'll hint at that and let people go discover that for themselves, those episodes. I also have an article about that, those running backs on Full Press coverage as well. Speaking of articles, again, I'm up in Canada, so I'm a big fan of the CFL, the Canadian Football League, and I also play CFL DFS. So for the website I write for, Going for Two, I write a weekly DFS article for the DraftKings prices that week for their CFL contest. So every week I just talk about quarterback, running back, wide receiver, who I think are the best value plays. Some weeks it's okay, pay up for this position, pay down at this one, and just trying to make the puzzle fit. So I have a lot of fun in a lot of different fantasy formats, and again, really appreciate the opportunity here to speak to more people.
All right, Kyle. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for staying up with us. Have a great night. Stay safe and well, and keep up the great work.
Yes. Well wishes to you all. Thank you.
All right. Well, that was Kyle from the FPC Fantasy Podcast. Sage, as well as FBC Raiders.
And Sage's advice on Green Bay Packers skill players, because that's been a common thing for years.
I like the objectivity.
Indeed, because I would have been like, yeah, totally go for it. Even though, you know, his skill players usually...
Go ahead and reach for a Tonyan. Go for it. Do it.
Just go for it. You're so happy. If you missed out on, you know, Waller, you missed out on the big three, then the two hybrids, that one's... I don't know. I'd rather pick Dallas Knox. What's his name? Dallas Knox? I think it's the tight end for the Buffalo Bills, Dawson Knox. I trust him more than I trust Tonyan.
But, yeah, for those of you out there trying to win some money or trying to win some bragging rights in your fantasy league, Touchdowns and Tangents crew is going to be having some more fantasy football for you this season. So I'm sure we'll be hearing from Kyle and other people in the fantasy football community. Tap in with us at TDs_tangents. And so, yeah, with that, Kenny, do you want to segue to college football?
Yes, indeed. All right, so...
Conference realignment. The Alliance. SEC.
Such a corny-ass name, too. Like, I was kind of annoyed when
it's not A Alliance, it's the Alliance.
Yeah, because it's already the American Alliance Conference. Well, here's the thing, right? So, the Pac-12, the Big Ten, was it the ACC? All got together and like, look, we're going to just form our own super conference. And shut out. Because it's honestly... How can I put this? Everybody's scared shitless that like, yo, if the college football proposal goes through, and then there's NIL, and Texas and Oklahoma can be mediocre in the SEC and still somehow get into the top 12 playoff picture, which means you're going to have like probably 70-80% SEC teams in it, then like realistically it just becomes the SEC tournament all over again. It's not really dominated. It's not really dominated. Well, I said dominated. It's not dominated by like one person. Like, you need variety in college football. Now, there's a lot of schools that don't have even the gusto to stand and compete with them, so they're not. And there's a lot of teams, like pretty much the whole Pac-12, which, you know, should just stand on its own and do the PC3 and just give me some written legal credit. But that's a whole other story. Also, USC has their whole team fully vaccinated. Clay Hilton talked about that. Brew McCoy is going to be arrested and brought up on charges on a potential domestic violence situation that happened a while back. He was cleared of all wrongdoing, but he may or may not come back to USC because they have Title IX and its whole zero tolerance policy. And we've seen this before when their kicker who won them the Rose Bowl got expelled, even though he and his girlfriend weren't actually fighting. It was a misunderstanding. And he got expelled and his scholarship revoked and he couldn't get his degree, which hurt his NFL prospects. And yeah, pretty much ruined his life. So
I was just going to say shout out to UNC golf player Jarrett Smith.
I mean, I guess. But yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm honestly just like,
he said getting cleared to play golf in the NCAA was the hardest thing he's ever done in his life.
I'm going to throw up. I can't believe that you just said that. Like, bro, I'm really just sitting here thinking, like, college football, like, let's say a year from now, right? So, actually, no, 2 years from now. So, you get Texas, Oklahoma, they're in the SEC, whatever. You got the Pac-12, underwhelming, but they're probably going to have their network back up and working and not on any channel you could find, right? JUCO football hopefully will be back. High school football recruiting will hopefully be back to normal to a certain extent. Like, but what is the tailgating going to be like?
Find out tomorrow.
Is it going to be hands-off?
2 days, UCLA, Hawaii, the golf course.
Wait, UCLA and Hawaii are playing?
The golf course, yeah.
But, I mean...
Tickets are cheap, too.
That's... Damn, I might go.
You got work, sir.
Early in the morning. Early in the morning. If it's early in the morning, I'll go. But I just sit back and think...
12:30?
That's not that bad, actually.
Yeah, that's not that bad.
Because I got work at 7. That's not that bad. I don't know, man. Like, with the way that these schools are saying they're not going to expand, they're losing ground geographically. Like, everybody comes to California and swoops up kids. I think, like, and if USC doesn't actually ever come back to some form of prominence, man, we could just see, like, all the California recruits gone from California. The top guys. Like, we've already seen the depletion at the high school level. You've talked about it before, the numbers, how it's significantly gone down like the past 10 years, and it's not reversing. We see how, was it Dorsey and Crenshaw had to cancel a game because they had 14 guys. We were at Luzinger's JV game. They had, what, like maybe 25?
Yeah. Maybe.
So it's like...
And Calabasas probably had the same amount.
And if a lot of... Yeah, and if a lot of schools just say, we didn't have enough bodies, forget the football altogether.
Well, shoot, remember, it was not that long ago. That's what I'm saying, bro. Think about what that 30% is. Like, it was not that long ago that teams had three teams, like three full teams. And now these teams are barely fielding out two. It's really just one team and an adjacent satellite team that also gets some playing time. And it's like, you only learn so much from practice. You got to actually play the game. And the other thing is, like, especially after the pandemic, definitely a big gap between the players who had some coaching and playing time before and the ones who didn't. Because when guess what happened when everything came back? The players who were still playing knew what they were doing. They didn't stop playing. And now, basically that gap just keeps growing exponentially, and it's crazy. It's going to be the same at all levels, honestly. You're like, this is going to have a lasting effect. It's going to keep moving up.
Also, there's one more really interesting tidbit for college football news. So, Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly, he might have slipped up and said who's going to be the next head coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish behind him. He said this. He's 59. He said on episode 2 of NBC Sports Race in America, a candid conversation. He referenced Notre Dame's defensive coordinator, Marcus Freeman, his coaching tenure at the 47-minute mark to John Kennedy of Always Irish. He said, my defensive coordinator is black, and he's going to be the next head coach, Kelly said, while on a panel with Steph Curry, Dale Curry, Vince Carter, Jimmy Rollins, Justin Tuck, C.C. Sabathia, and Kyle Rudolph. And he goes on to say, This is not about race or color. This is about the things that he just talked about. Steph talked about the important things to be a CEO and understanding how to make people around you better. It's pretty much, he said, it's unclear whether Kelly was referencing Freeman's future as a head coach in college football in general, or if he meant that, you know, that's a successor. But Marcus Freeman was actually a former standout linebacker for Ohio State. He joined Ohio State as a graduate assistant in 2010, spent a year in the NFL coaching, then he quickly moved up the coaching ladder and became the co-defensive coordinator at Purdue in 2016, the full-time defensive coordinator and linebackers coach at Cincinnati from 2017 to 2020, which is incredibly impressive. The quote came in the segment of the show where they were talking about, they're focused on hiring practices in athletics as a whole. Which is kind of interesting when you think about it. Like, Yeah, there's definitely not a lot of black head coaches in college football. Virtually none.
Well, one of the panels I went for NABJ was talking about it, and they were just saying, like, basically, the big sports, the revenue-driving sports, right, the basketball, football, basically support all the athletic departments, right? They're the only sport that's predominantly African-American. The only other one besides those three, guess what it is?
Maybe baseball, track and field.
There you go. And
that's not much revenue.
Track and field is the only one of those sports that's predominantly black and doesn't generate revenue. And guess what? And guess what? Track and field is disproportionately cut and defunded compared to your lacrosses, your golfs, your hockeys, all these other sports that don't generate revenue, probably cost more money, but hey, they're not predominantly black, so they get to stay on the campus.
It's like it's all the Olympic sports.
That's telling you something without telling you something, right?
Which is why I said a while ago that black people were socially conditioned into playing football and basketball.
In UCLA, there's only, 7% black people?
It's an outrageously in that
last class,
low number.
I just watched a video as part of the presentation. It was like the last class, freshman class, had of athletes had 35 black people or something like that.
And most of the black people that are at UCLA are all athletes.
And most of them don't graduate.
Exactly. And to add to that, you should look up the murders of Bunchy Carter and a couple other people regarding that at UCLA. Because they were fighting for more black students actually being let into UCLA. Like, they're plenty of qualified students, and him being murdered, Ron Karanga, who I think retired at Long Beach State and was like a federal informant and a bunch of other stuff. Just look into Bunchy Carter and his murder and how a lot of things played out with the Black Panthers at UCLA, and just how a lot of screwy things, a lot of racist things have been happening at UCLA. Like, when, I remember we were at CSUN and we talked about somebody shit on the black house door, left the N-word everywhere. It was really bad. Like, they had a blackface party at UCLA. Yeah, I didn't forget. Now y'all understand why I don't fuck with UCLA like that.
Okay, let's not pretend like USC hasn't had the same debacle.
But I'm saying,
because they for sure have.
UCLA be acting like hot shit and they don't win nothing in football. That's what annoys me. I don't care if you throw better parties. Win something.
But, all right.
Yeah, that's really it for college football.
Now, let's move to whichever one I can find the drop for first.
I got it. That's actually a good lead-in for my first topic, for whichever one you hit first. Got you. Okay, so Jameis Winston. Went 9 of 10 for almost 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. I think it's Marquez Callaway, former Tennessee standout. 5 catches, 104 yards, 2 touchdowns. I didn't even know who he caught the first one. I thought it was incomplete.
I'm pretty sure you tried to. What's a good word to say hanging or crucifying without saying hanging or crucifying?
Actually, it was more. I was about to. Kind of
what's a good way to say hang or crucify someone without saying hang or crucify someone?
I guess you have to. I don't know. I probably know it. I'm just too close to it. I'm too close to the blast radius. But no,
drag. I guess you could say drag.
You drug them. You read them.
You try to drag me for Marquez Callaway multiple times.
What? That's such an obscure reference because you never watched Tennessee football.
Yes, I did. I was like, he's fast.
At the NFLPA Bowl?
And you were like, oh, that's it.
You don't have to be fast in that.
And then when he got cut 3 times, you were like, I told you. I was like, wasn't he in the XFL? He might have been in the XFL for a little bit, too. I don't think
he was in the XFL. Now you pick one guy, you just hold on to him for dear life.
You never give me any credit for the shit I do be hitting. You
don't watch college football.
Okay, and I still be hitting.
You didn't even know about Demetric Felton, bro.
I definitely don't watch college football.
Right in your backyard. You don't watch UCLA football. All right,
go ahead.
Can't name a UCLA receiver. But nah, damn.
You don't remember what second.
No, Jameis Winston. No, it's touchdown or turnover. So Jameis Winston won the starting job, even though Taysom Hill also threw a touchdown and played really well.
They said allegedly, either way, Taysom Hill is going to be in the offense. So I'm going to say it's a turnover.
Touchdown or turnover for Jameis not being named the starter yet?
I'm going to say it's a turnover for Jameis because either way, they're going to try to work Taysom Hill into it. And I don't know. I feel like on one hand, this has been good for Jameis because, like I said before, like you can just see it in the transformation of his body and even his attitude. Like he's been just even the way he posts is a lot less attention seeking, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. I just feel like he's matured a lot overall as a player, and you know, like it's a lot coming into a losing organization as a number two pick, and then all of a sudden everyone's trying to build around you. It could be a lot, and we don't give quarterbacks enough time to develop because many of them don't even see their second contract. And if they do, they're not with the same team. So the point I'm trying to make is,
we all gave up on Jameis too early?
We gave up on Jameis too early, and now he's put it into a position to where he's battling his way back, and we're still waiting for him. We're still waiting for the bottom to fall out.
I think they need to see like a 28-6 season from him.
I just don't know. I just don't know if it's going to help him because it's going to keep him on his toes because clearly that's helped him this past year and a half get to where he's at. But also, if you're going to be a starting quarterback for a playoff team, you need to have some sort of a window to know like, hey, I'm going to be okay if I throw a pick, or hey, I'm going to be okay if I take this chance or get a sack. Like, you're always looking over your shoulder. When are they going to bring Taysom in to score or move the chains? Like, that's going to throw you out of rhythm.
Yeah. Right? But, again, if Michael Thomas really wants to trade, who's Jameis throwing to? Because Alvin Kamara is going to get all the workload and he's going to be a stacked box every time. So,
all right, moving to Denver. Teddy, two gloves, a.k.a. the GOAT, as deemed from Lamar Jackson himself, Louisville's own Bridgewater.
I dig it.
Which, by the way, I told you he would win the starting job, and you were like, no, Drew Luck has too much upside. He can throw the ball better. So, touchdown or turnover for the Broncos season? Teddy Bridgewater at QB.
I go touchdown because Fangio wants to play it safe because he knows he can't afford another bad season. And you don't want to have a bad season and you and Drew Lock get kicked out the door at the same time. So you'd be better off just trying to rely on the strength of your defense to win you games and know that Teddy Bridgewater can wheel and deal in this offense. He doesn't necessarily have to throw a deep downfield, but as long as you can get the ball in the hands of the playmakers you have on that roster, then it's a go.
All right. We already talked about it a few times throughout the show, but the New England Patriots sent former Georgia running back Sony Michel.
First round pick went
of 2018.
Picks. Went four picks ahead of Nick Chubb.
To the LA Rams for a fourth round pick and a sixth round compensation pick. So, touchdown or turnover for the Rams getting Sony Michel?
That's a definite touchdown. He's exactly what that offense needs. He's better as a zone runner. Trying to pound him inside and run power, that's not his deal. He's a glider. He's more north than south.
I've always liked Sony Michel. I thought he fell into a good position, except for they had just had too many backs and they didn't really have an offensive identity.
Yeah.
So they were just kind of trying to take the best player available. But now I think he's in a good spot, and we know how Georgia running backs go in L.A. So,
especially in zone schemes.
And let's see. Do you have one?
I'm going to save it for Take Your Tangent.
All right. Let's move to Take Your Tangent. As soon as I can find it. Take Your Tangent. I'll go first. The NFLPA and Fanatics agree to a 20-year contract for trading cards. I think this week they also picked up the MLB after like 50-something years of being with Topps. So Fanatics is the new card company. Take your tangent on that, Kenny.
I mean, those NFT cards is going to be worth more and more money.
A lot of people are out in outrage, and all I would say is, if you have all those Topps cards, don't they go up in value now that Topps doesn't make them anymore? So, like, really, what are you complaining about, bro?
But nobody wants them anymore, then they're utterly useless.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that if they're not in production anymore, then all the other ones should go up in value.
But if there's a better card and a better option out there, and it's the same age as the card you have, it's like an outdated currency.
I guess.
Yeah, it's probably worth something on the world market, but in America, we're not playing by Topps anymore. It's all Fanatics. So I get why some people will be pissed. It's kind of like the OnlyFans thing, but that's a whole other story.
Brilliant PR.
Which, the OnlyFans, don't worry, it's number two. Actually, it's number three on this list, because I got number two for you.
Go ahead.
The Colts mascot did a fucking crate challenge and nailed it.
Some people said he cheated because he didn't put his 2 feet on the last two boxes, and he kind of just
jumped down.
Yeah. So some people will say he cheated. I will say that regardless, if you've ever been in one of those fucking mascot suits, like, it's a lot just to walk around.
It's heavy as shit.
It's heavy, it's sweaty, it's stinky. So if you can walk on a box of milk cartons for that.
Milk crates.
Props to you. Now, if you can do it in a mascot suit and pour up a shot and take a shot. Now we got some.
Honestly, the black woman who did it in heels was much more impressive. I was scared for her, though. And then the dude, the light-skinned dude and the wife beater who was rolling a blunt. I was like, that's Hall of Fame worthy. That's just... But it's also a stupid challenge, and I wouldn't be surprised if the government set it up. Just put milk crates all over the place. Like, hey, let's just have people just fuck themselves up.
I heard they're sold out at Home Depot, too.
Milk crates used to be cheap. Now they're definitely going to, like, the price of milk is going to go up high as fuck. People who get milk delivered to their house are going to be so angry. They're going to be so angry. I got another one, though. So take your tangent on the fact that OnlyFans is being forced to essentially get rid of their adult content or essentially get rid of
the dude who owns it.
Yeah, but it's, like, suspended. Pretty much.
They said they're not anymore.
I mean, it's kind of like a stay of execution. Here's the thing. The guy who runs it has, like, ties to pedophilia and all types of dirty porn. It's a really bad past. And, like, for them to get real venture capital, OnlyFans wants to get rid of the adult content and have, like, OnlyFans TV. Like Apple TVs and shit, like they want to get legit and get away because a lot of places won't give you like venture capital. They won't give you the money if it's like adult themed. Because
this is what I said last week, but as of this week, they said they're not doing that anymore because too many content creators were like,
"We'd be we're out.
You already the whole reason why we came to you was because of this." And now...
Is this the end for OnlyFans? Like, the beginning of the end? Like, there's no... There's, like... Is this, like... Is this worse?
I'll put it to you this way.
Dogecoin crash?
If the OnlyFans would have proceeded with that, that would have been the death of that whole saying, niches get riches. Because OnlyFans found that niche, that pocket of adult attainers who were getting exploited by Pornhub, not getting any money from that or social media where they were just putting out their content. Yes, it's sex content, but it's still content. They were just putting it out for pennies. And now, guess what? They found something else where they could make money directly from their consumers. So the consumers were happy because they're getting exclusive content, new content. They're connecting with the people they want to connect with even closer. And... porn stars and adult entertainers were happy because It's all cash. Prorated cash they can count on every month.
But also
much better than clicks.
People play with cryptocurrency.
The crazy thing though, the crazy thing is you gotta understand is like this, the whole internet is business up until these past 3 years was basically built off of porn.
Yeah.
Like the internet publishing business, all the ads, the third party tracking, the pop ups, the banner ads, all that stuff came from porn. Right? And now porn is going the other way and taking what the publishing model has found successful, which is subscriptions, and that's pretty much what OnlyFans is. So what I'm saying is OnlyFans fans found something that works, and I get it. You want to scale it, make it bigger, make it better, make it into its own brand, make it legit, all the things that you're saying. But you got to find a way to do that that stays true to the people who are using you to get their content out and get money back, as well as the consumers who are paying you a cut of their money to connect with their favorite adult entertainers. So, yeah, you just got to think a little harder. It's not as simple as, oh, we can just ban this or not.
But, like, I think they're going to, if you look at a lot of places that went legit, they got rid of adult content. So they could actually get more money because you want to avoid the
Twitter is a public company. And
Twitter definitely has porn. Twitter porn has mad porn. Twitter has mad, an uncomfortable amount of porn on it. Like one wrong accidental fucking. You go down the rabbit hole
that's
on Twitter.
Your algorithm. What you looking at?
No. Just in general. Like you say search.
Yeah.
It'll say trending. And you're like, okay. You go into a meme and the next thing you know, like, well, how the fuck did I end up here?
All right, next one. The big news this week has, or the past week and a half, really, Clemson running back, how do you say his name?
Travis Etienne, ETN.
Is going to miss.
I said that already.
Most of the season.
The whole season. Liz Frank injury.
Probably and sure. His backup was actually one of the best running backs, rookie running backs last year.
James Robinson, undrafted out of South of Illinois State.
So he moves back up to the number one spot after 1,400 yards from scrimmage, 1,000 rushing yards, second most ever by an undrafted rookie. So take our tangent on Robinson being the starting running back by way of injury despite such a great year.
He was always going to be a starting running back. ETN was going to play receiver. And again, this really, I blame Urban Meyer on how he's handled this whole situation, because
they said he's getting mad about preseason losses.
Getting like, bro, they don't count. And it's like the starters weren't playing. It doesn't count. Trying to get Trevor Lawrence killed by the Saints defense because you have no receivers who can get open. The O-line is patchwork somehow, even though Cam Robinson was looking promising and other guys were looking promising. And, boy, whatever happened to Taven Bryan? That name. Yeah. Whew. But all I know is, yeah, you got to get Urban Meyer the hell away from Trevor Lawrence, because this is going to deteriorate into an Alex Smith situation. Like, I'm talking not 1-11, but I'm saying he going to get killed his rookie year. 17 games, too. He not used to losing. I mean, yeah, Clemson's O-line was kind of towards the end, but he didn't really get hit a lot. But all it takes is a torn ACL, and then you got Gardner Minshew again.
Yeah, but it's not as easy as just, let's throw a bubble screen, and we have way better athletes on the outside.
You can't throw anymore. A bubble screen to LaVisca Chenault. It's not college football anymore.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Like, I was like, bro, he was a downfield threat for a reason. Get him the ball. Like, develop these receivers. It's not that hard. Like, I can look across the league where everybody else is being developed. I can look at Miami and see how they've gotten better, even though their receivers are, like, Jalen Waddle had a scary injury, but he was ended up being fine. Like, you look at all these teams that can get receivers and develop them. I mean, other than the Ravens, I don't, like, it's kind of ridiculous at this point. The Jaguars had Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, let them both walk. You got DJ Chalk. He has a broken finger, so he's out till I think the first week. Like, it really comes down to a point where it's like, okay, bro, you got all these injuries. Urban Meyer, like, is going to have to... This is going to come back on him. That's all I'm saying. If he ends up leaving and saying, oh, my mental health was really strained by whatever. If he ends up saying, like, oh, I need to take a break, like, you know, I'm not cut out for the NFL. He ends up getting fired, like, 8 or 9 games in. Don't say I didn't tell you so, because this ain't going to last long. Like, it's just, like, Trevor Lawrence needs help, and I don't see where he has much of it. The Jacksonville defense looks aight, I guess, but even then, Shaheem Griffin was out there getting mossed by Marquez Callaway. So, and Griffin signed a fat contract with the Jaguars. So, I don't know. They better figure something out. But it's not going to go to Jacksonville. All
right, one more. Andrew Luck was spotted at a Colorado high school football practice out in the field, manning the scout team. Take our tangent on Andrew Luck being the scout team quarterback.
Bro, he's throwing bullets through people. They're praying to God to
take said, off and run. They said everyone was trying to get picks off him just so they could say they picked off Andrew Luck.
You see what he did to fucking Nickell Robey Coleman when he picked him off in the USC game? Or no, it wasn't him. It was a safety. He knocked... It might have been T.J. McDonald. Andrew
Luck is big, dog.
He might have been T.J. McDonald. He knocked somebody the fuck out and they fumbled and then they got the ball back. Like, Andrew Luck is not sweet by any sense of the imagination. Like, he was a brick house. There's a reason why I think he almost ran the same 40 time as Cam Newton. He was only a couple of seconds slower. He ran like a 4.62, I think. Like, Aaron Rodgers ran a fast 40. And he had arm. Like, he would thrive in this. Shit, he was thriving with the Colts, even though he was getting killed every week. That's what I'm saying. This could be a Andrew Luck situation. But all I know is he had to tear away pants that you had, like, in middle school. You just unzip them and boom. You ready to go fuck something up? Or get your... Like, don't get your pants dirty.
You don't have to get ready if you stay ready.
Exactly. He had like, the Cub Scout master teacher 17s on. Like, it was ridiculous. But I'm pretty sure the first bullet he threw at a kid probably it almost broke his
like
finger.
That Peyton Manning commercial, but real life.
Yeah. Was it Peyton Manning that was breaking people's fingers, or was it John Elway? Somebody was breaking receivers' fingers in practice.
I was just referring to that commercial.
Yeah.
Where he's throwing it at them kids.
Oh, yeah. Peyton Manning throwing footballs at children is hilarious.
One of the best commercials ever, honestly.
Easily.
All right, so with that, let's get to the rants.
Okay, well, like I said, my nephew won't let me sleep. He just, we sleep whenever he decides he's going to go to sleep. And it's quite shocking, actually. So, like, and also I'm pretty sure I got my karma. I'm getting my karma through him in life because he's thrown up on me like 12 times in the past 2 weeks. Like, I mean, just projectile vomited on me and then started laughing like nothing happened.
Just wait till he has to play JV in Calabasas and you're going to be right there and be like, God damn it, this is my karma for talking all that shit 10 years ago.
Nah, he's never going to lose anger, ever. I don't give a damn. But, yeah, it's been an interesting week. So, I'm going to just say this, man. Sometimes, and I do mean sometimes, when you think you need to have the world figured out, some really dumb shit happens and you just laugh and say, you know what? The universe is right. Not going to say my plans because If you want to make God laugh, what do? You tell him your plans. Sometimes you got to let shit happen. You just got to let shit happen. You can't even try to force it. Because the moment you try to force some shit, sometimes you're forcing things to happen in a positive way, but it's coming from a dark place and you don't realize it. It's coming from a place of lack, potentially. And you think that your attitude or your amount of overcompensating for lack with willpower and thinking that you can force and will things to happen under some toxic circumstances, or just you just want things to happen for you and you're not looking at the bigger picture of life, sometimes it can hurt you. And if you don't, like, just accept that, sometimes it can hurt the people you care about. So just be wary of, you know, you're not by yourself in this world. So, you know, don't feel like the weight of the world's on your shoulders, but don't feel like you need to solve all the world's problems either. Sometimes shit can just exist in a state of, I don't know. That's it.
That's a good message. I'll just end the show by saying that I finally got the privilege to go out to SoFi Stadium this past weekend for the Raiders and Rams game. Shout out to my boy JD Bailey, been a friend of the show, Open Canvas. It's crazy, man. Like, holy fucking smokes, we really got our fucking money up. Like, it's crazy. Like, I remember piecing up with dude, like, just to split a fucking pizza, like a $10 pizza. And now here we are sitting 100 level at SoFi Stadium, like, drinking $16 drinks and not caring. Like, it's crazy. But when you get to SoFi Stadium, it, like, you can read about my experience on Full Press Coverage, but just to give you the gist of it, it's exactly what you expect and nothing of what you expect at the same time. Like, it's honestly an embodiment of LA. Like, just the glitz and the glam from the minute you get off your Uber, like, you see all the big ass lake, you see the NFL studios, you see, like, this big ass stadium, and then you walk in and there's all these corporate sponsorships, there's all these security guards checking and making sure you're in the right section, because guess what, people are willing to pay for access in LA, and if you're not, well, you better walk your ass up them stairs and escalator and go to where you belong, which is much like LA's you know, hidden non-direct discriminatory practices and zoning and stuff that has a deep history, which you can go back to trace, and it all basically traces back to racism and construction of the freeways. But I digress. Point is, what I'm saying is, like, all that shit was true. Like, stadium is a lot. It's all over the place. People don't know where it's going on. It's hard to get in and out. Like, you could literally say that about any single thing in LA. But when you get to your seats, when you finally get there and you see that field, how close it is, when you see that fucking science fiction brought to real life video board, that's like a fucking halo. It's like, dude, where am I? Am I in my TV? Like, it's like literally 4K in life. The colors, the lights, everything. Like, it's honestly the greatest football experience, minus the teams that play there. And I think the game I had the privilege of going to, the Raiders and the Rams, was the perfect indicator of that. Because guess what? There was silver and black everywhere. I was talking mad shit. I was literally walking up to people, Rams fans, and saying, damn, dog, imagine only being down 7 in the Super Bowl to the Patriots and then losing. All you needed to do was score a touchdown. And they would just get so sad, bro. Like, they didn't even say anything. And then I was like, damn, imagine having the greatest offense ever, like four Hall of Famers, and losing to a 6th-round draft pick in the Super Bowl. Like, damn. Like, I'm really surprised I made it out. Like, at one point, I was literally on the concourse just chanting, Anaheim, Anaheim, Angel Stadium.
Oh, so
Big Air.
Radical Evil. Okay, cool.
And then at another point, I was literally yelling, "Free St. Louis! Free St. Louis! Free St. Louis!"
Oh, yeah, it's gonna get beat up.
It was bad, bro. And I was walking up to Raider fans. I was like, "Do you feel that?" I was like, "It's an autumn wind." And they were just like,
"Stupid ass."
And I just was walking down the escalator. I was like, "Welcome home, welcome home." Giving people dabs. I was like, "Welcome home, welcome home." And then I was like, I was like, don't ever forget, the only team to ever win the Super Bowl here as LA's home team is the Raiders. Oh, yeah. And we won one in the city as the Oakland Raiders. So, fuck the Rams.
That was it. So
yeah, some dude I met even offered to sell me his fucking Raiders tickets, bro. He's like, "Yeah, you're a real Raiders fan. You could buy my season tickets for Allegiant." I was like, "Dope." He was like, "You got to pay." He was like, "You got to pay." I was like, "I'm fine with that. Shit, I'll even drive, bro. Bet."
How much are the tickets?
Yeah.
I go in half, bro. How much are the tickets?
I gotta text it back. But yeah, man. SoFi Stadium was everything good and bad as advertised. Definitely if you're in LA, get out there. It's gonna be worth it. Every week there's gonna be something happening there with the two teams. So it's gonna be dope. I'm excited for it. I'm only a few minutes away. So I'll definitely be indulging in SoFi this year. And, yeah, man, as soon as we got off the air last week, Kenny was there. I yelled, "Fuck," because last week was Nate Dogg's birthday, and we didn't ride out to a Nate Dogg song. And this week was Kobe's birthday. So
we're not playing any of Kobe's raps because I'm sorry. Kobe's raps are trash. We love Kobe, but the raps wasn't it. Also, Allen Iverson's
how we doing work? 2-for-1 shirt. Stop. He's the greatest on that. I'm the greatest on the mic.
Oh God, stop!
Shut your ass up, like you wasn't knocking that. Do it for Kareem.
No.
Shut your ass up, bro.
When we rapped, I just
you was it. Walking around to your little Elko orientation, bro, with that shit in your fucking headphones.
I definitely
was. You are lying, bro. You are lying. Bro,
you don't even know the culture of Elko 10 years ago, bro. Shit was different. I was probably listening to fucking. I was definitely listening to some Immortal Technique at 8 a.m. for no reason.
You still do that
sometimes. But nah, most of the time just listen to meditation. Also, shit, I forgot what I was going to say. Damn it, there's still time, wait. Again, rest in peace, Gotti West. Salute to everybody on the good news. Can't wait to do this NFL fantasy football season with our fellow Good News Sports shows. It's going to be fun. I'm going to win. I'm talking mad shit.
Shout out to X Squad Affiliate. Shout out to FBC Radio. Shout out to your favorite podcast studio.
Salute Mo Cheese, man. Salute Mo Cheese, bro.
Be safe, y'all.
Definitely be safe. Burger King chicken fries.
I'm fine.
Burger King chicken fries are trash, by the way.
And Nate Dogg was a Marine. Don't forget that.
He was.
And I'm super duper fly. I'll be the greatest. I know
you waited this and I wanted to. For smarter money decisions, LendingTree can help. With the LendingTree app, you can track your finances, compare loan rates, and find ways to cut monthly bills. Download the free LendingTree app and start keeping more of your money. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS number 1136.
Raising Cane's is celebrating 25 years. That means 25 years of serving over 2.5 billion cooked-to-order chicken finger meals.
And 25 years of saying drive-thru rhymes.
Lots and lots of times. Oh, and 25 years of the same mascot. Okay, different mascots with the same name. And 25 years of serving our communities. Thanks for making us your chicken fix since way back in 96. Raising Cane's, 25 years, one love.